We haven't done this in a while. If you guys would stand up real quick. I know I hate, one of the things I've always hated in church world is we do up and down a lot. It's like a workout area. I'm not trying to do that, but I really feel like the Lord wants us to stand in honor of his word today. And we don't do this because it's legalistic, or we feel like if we don't, we're dishonoring him or disrespecting him. But there's something about when you do a posture in honor of the scripture, it gives God glory and worship. It also stirs your heart in a way that you can never feel. I'm just going to read this. This is Psalm 8, and this is what we're going to be focusing on today. And Lord, we just pray over these scriptures right now. Not that they would give some emotional, over-spiritual thing to us, God, but we just want to worship you through these words. We thank you that you've given us these words. Thank you that you've given us this word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So in that same way, God, I just pray this morning that you would guide us with this scripture. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to represent a piece of your character. It's going to represent a portion of your power. And we thank you that over these words, just the authority that's going to fall on all of us this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the scriptures. Amen. This is Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. We're all crowned with glory and honor this morning. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. If we could all just say this last verse together. Our Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. So just to give you guys some background, every week that I'm ever doing a front portion, it's what we call a call to worship. Sometimes I do it, sometimes Oliver does it, sometimes Chris does it. But what we like to do at City Lights is we like to focus the first portion of our Sunday morning on something called logos, and that's truth. That's truth of God. A lot of times we look at the scriptures that way. This is his logos. This is what he said that is true. This is something that we can stand on, that we find ourselves on. This is the foundation of our faith, is the scriptures. It's the truth of God. And then the second half of our worship we like to call the rhema, and that's like what God is saying right now. Because we believe God is always speaking. He's always saying something. He's always giving us new revelation through the Holy Spirit within us. And so I was just preparing for the call to worship, the logos portion. And the Lord gave me Psalm 8. It was the first place I went, and I was just reading it and super captivated by it. And the first song that came to my head was How Great Thou Art. I believe all of you are familiar with that hymn. And sings, my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, right? It's good, good, good song. Stirs me up. But I always have this small part of my heart where I really get, I go back to my past of just legalistic, that fundamental background where some things were really good, but hymns were just really bad because I was like 13 years old, and I was like, this is so boring. All there is this organ and this piano. I think it's beautiful music now, but when I was a kid, I hated it. So a lot of times I get afraid of singing these hymns, but the Lord was really pushing me with it, and he said, I want you to look at this song. I want you to read the lyrics. I want you to look it up. I want you to study the guy who wrote it. I want you to do the song, Timothy. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So I go and look up the song. And what I started to realize, and not only with this song, but a lot of songs, like It Is Well With My Soul, the guy who wrote that song, he had a family who was on a boat. I believe they're going on a trip somewhere, and he was seeing his family off on this ship. And I can't remember why, specifically what reason, but the ship ended up sinking. And he watched his family sink in the ship and pass away. And then he turns around from that moment, he writes the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And so hymns have this power to them. They have this authority to them. They have this weight to them when you hear stories like that, right? Because at first it's just a song that some guy's doing this and he's just singing. But then when you hear a background, you hear a testimony, it changes the context. And then it speaks to your heart, speaks to your situation, speaks to your circumstance, and you can actually sing and say, well, it's well with my soul too. Whatever you want, God, I'm going to follow you and do whatever you want me to do. Because if you can do it for that guy, you can do it for me. So hymns, as I started to study How Great Thou Art, the same sort of thing happened to me. God just started to renew this song within my heart. So the guy that wrote it, his name is Carl Gustav Boberg. He's a Swedish man. He wrote the song back in about 1885. And originally it was written as a poem. It wasn't a song at all. And the song that we know today, How Great Thou Art, originally wasn't called How Great Thou Art. It was actually called, in the Swedish term, is O Stor Gud. I guess I'm saying that right, Swedish. But anyways, just I want to tell you guys a story about this guy and about how this poem came to be, where the inspiration came from him. And so I'm just going to read this quote by him. This is his actual experience that he had. He wrote it down in his journal that he had back in that day. This is 1885. So just even historically, try to think in that context. 1885, Sweden, small village in Sweden. And he just left a church service, and he's on his way home, a nighttime church service. He's walking home with his family. It says, it was the time of year when everything seemed to be in its richest coloring. The birds were singing in trees and everywhere. It was very warm, and suddenly a thunderstorm appeared on the horizon, and soon there was thunder and lightning. We had to hurry to shelter, but the storm was soon over and the clear sky appeared. When I came home, I opened my window toward the sea. There evidently had been a funeral, and the bells were playing the tune of When Eternity's Clock Calls My Saved Soul to Its Sabbath Rest. That evening, I wrote the song, O Stor Gud, or O Great God. So, I mean, this is pretty stirring for me. This guy watches the storm come in, and lightning's happening, thunder's happening. Just get this in your head. Lightning, thunder, rain, and then out of nowhere, it just disappears. Other people that were with him, friends and family of his, they said that he looked out the window, and what he saw was the sun setting on the horizon. As the clouds broke away, he saw the sun setting, and it just moved him. And he said, oh, great God. It's huge. It's captivating. Well, this song, I mean, like I say, he just wrote it as a poem. He wasn't attempting to write a song. He wasn't attempting to write a hymn. He genuinely was expressing himself. And it's something that, Chris has said this a lot, and it's something that's really started to captivate my heart over the past probably 2 or 3 years. But his theology started to produce his doxology. So people that have written about this moment, they also said that as soon as he saw that and he decided to write that poem, he sat down and read Psalm 8, what we just read. And he got so stirred up. He received so much revelation from this encounter through creation, from the encounter he had through Scripture, that he wrote this beautiful, I mean, eternal hymn. Just to give you guys some context about How Great Thou Art. So it was 1885 when he wrote O Great God to a Swedish melody. In 1907, it was translated from Swedish to German. And then in 1912, it was translated from German to Russian. In 1940, there was a man by the name of Stuart K. Hine. He was a missionary in the Ukraine. And in 1940, he found the song there in the Ukraine, and he brought it back to the United Kingdom, brought it back to Great Britain. So just fast forward 10 years later from that moment, you guys all know who Billy Graham is, right? You know all about his crusades, how he would have thousands upon thousands of people in these arenas. George Beverly Shea sang this over 100 times in New York City, which made the song globally known. And Shea has sung to more people than anyone else in history. So that's more than like the Beatles. That's more than the Rolling Stones. That's more than these big name bands that we know of. These people know more of How Great Thou Art because of this man at the Billy Graham Crusades than the Beatles. It's the Beatles, you know, like they sold out stadiums full of people. So this song started to transcend time. It transcended history. It transcended culture. This song went on to bring salvation to millions of people over the past 60 years. Even to this day, people still sing that song. It is the number two most famous, most sang, most celebrated hymn of all time next to Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace is the most known song of all time. Now, I'm not saying that because I want to celebrate Christianity and I want to celebrate Christian music. I mean, we could do that and say, go Christian music. And that'd be great. But the key here is this man had an encounter with the Lord. He sought the Lord in Scripture. He sought out theology, the study of God. And that produced this doxology, which is our response to God. He found this truth and then responded back to his Father and talked about how great and how awesome he is. And that doxology changed the world and changed history. The kingdom of God came just by him responding to God, him choosing to say yes to writing a song, writing a poem. Now, I don't say all this because I want to say, hey, so go write a song, go write a poem. I'm not saying that, but God's given you all, he's created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your creativity. He knows your curiosity. He knows your personality. He knows your character. He knows all those things. And I just believe that when we find ourselves in these scriptures, even when we come to a place like this, in a context like this, we're not called to just come here and do the deed of, you know, singing a song and listening to a sermon and writing down our notes, which that stuff is good stuff. But we're called to respond to what we hear. We're called to respond to what we're seeing in the life of ourselves and to see what God's doing in the kingdom around us. And that is what, if we're going to talk about believe, Jesus changes everything. That's how he changes everything, is when we say yes to him. So this morning, that was my biggest push. It's very short for me this morning, but just my hope and my prayer is that your theology, not yours truly, but God's theology in you, will produce a doxology, produce a response. That doesn't mean a song. It doesn't mean a poem. It's whatever you feel led to do, but that you would allow the Holy Spirit to wake you up. Just like I prayed earlier, that he would just break apart the stone of our heart in different places and just expose that vulnerable, sweet, intimate, spiritual place. Because that's what he wants to get to. And if we allow the truth of God, the scriptures, this is scripture. This isn't something he made up and just decided to make it a song. This is the word of God that produced this song. When we allow that to pierce us, it creates this doxology, this response. You guys understand what I'm saying this morning? I don't want you to hear this from the worship leader this morning. Because again, I said this to the people earlier. I said, I don't care if you sing my songs or you sing these songs or you listen to us, whether you like us or don't like us. We're up here because we are leading you in worship. We're up here because we just want to point you back to him. I happen to be talking about music this morning, but I don't want you to hear it just because I'm the worship leader. I want you to hear it because I care about God's glory and I care about the worship that he's due through you. Because if we're not able to respond, then I don't know where we are. And again, this isn't my push to say, hey, so sing louder. Hey, so cheer more. When we say amen, say amen. Like, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow him. But do it from your heart. When your heart stirs you, say yes. And it might be something like a raising of the hand in a corporate setting. It might be something like kneeling down. We feel like you need to sit down. It might be yelling. When God tells you to yell, your spirit is just aching because you just feel his love so strongly, but that you're saying yes to the doxology. Don't say no to the doxology, because it's in you and it's sweet, and 9 times out of 10, I'd probably say 99.9% of the time, it's just for you and him. It's not for other people. And so on a corporate level, in a worship context, in this kind of context, just respond to him. When you hear something that stirs you, say yes. When you hear something that pierces you, say, thank you, God. He's calling you to sing him a song. Just sing him. He doesn't care if you can sing or not. He knows what you sound like when you sing. But he still is calling you to sing. It's not like he doesn't know. It's not like, Lord, I don't know if you've heard my voice before. He knows. He's very aware. And he loves your voice. Father loves hearing you sing. So again, don't hear it from the worship leader. Hear it from just a family member, one family member to another. I'm going to sing the original song here in a moment. So like I said, it wasn't the original version. So what happened over time is back in the 90s, they got a hold of his actual original poem, and a group of people translated into English. So I'm going to sing to you the actual Swedish to English version. I prayed and debated about singing in Swedish, but then I thought people would not know what's happening, so probably not. But as I'm singing, it's going to sound traditional. It's going to sound hymn-like because it is going to be a hymn. I'm going to sing this like it's a hymn because I want to give it just the purity and the innocence and the life that it has in itself. I'm not going to try and add anything to it. I specifically told the band this week, I said, I'm going to do this song by myself. Not because I just wanted to be me, but I said, guys, like, this song just needs to be the song. And for once, we don't do this a lot in these contexts, but I want to ask you during this song to receive these words that are being put on the screen, to receive the word that this man wrote in his moment, the doxology that he gave and now has been given to the rest of the world. I want to ask that you guys would please just receive that. And there are going to be certain parts that are going to be repetitive. Join in and sing. Not because we're in church, but do because your heart wants to. Do because the Spirit's crying out within you. Does that make sense to everybody? Good. Let me pray for y'all one more time before I get going over here. Even now, just start to really focus your attention on him. Lord, that you just make your relationship with us known. Yes, that you're in relationship with your bride, the church, but each one of us individually. Not that we'd be super emotional in the way that we sing, not that we'd be emotional in the way that we pray or the things that we say. But we want to respond to you. Even if you guys need to, just say to your own heart, to your own soul, that we are going to respond. We want to respond to you today, Lord. As we sing this song, Lord, just receive worship, receive the glory and the honor that you're due. You're worthy of it. You're worthy of everything that we could ever bring to you. Every song, every word, every thought, we just want it to belong to you today. Let your name be exalted above every other name. And just the truth of this scripture, Lord, again, just let it pierce our hearts. Continue to renew us through these words. Continue to strengthen us through the words of Carl, the words that he's brought us. Thank you that he said yes to you. And that through him, millions over the past 60 years have received salvation. His yes has changed the world. It's changed the course of history. It's like we sang earlier, when heaven meets earth, this is what happens right here when heaven meets earth. And we want to be this kind of people. Not that we would be famous or popular, people would sing our songs or would hear our words or see us do something or speak from a stage, but we just want to see a world that's captivated by you. A world that's captivated by what you have to say. So we sing this song to you, Lord. We glorify you with these words. Holy Spirit, just respond to these words. Awaken us from our sleep. Let us not be lazy where we are. Not just in this moment, but just lazy in our faith. Don't let us be inactive in our faith. Let us come alive in our faith to worship you and adore you. Because you're worth it, God. You're so, so worth it. We just love singing to you, Lord. Even just from that same place, continue just to set your eyes on him. Not let anything be distracted right now. Just in that place of surrender to him.
survey and wonder the world that formed, and sense the word you said, the strands of life all woven close together, the whole creation at your table fed. When your voice speaks, and rolls of thunder pealing, your lightning power burst in the bright sun. When cooling rains, your gentle love revealing, reflects your promise arching through the sky. My soul cries out in songs of praise to you, Almighty God, Almighty God. My soul cries out in songs of praise to you, Almighty God, Almighty. Upon all human life, your constant mercy, every care addressing, relieving burden, souls from sin and strife. So my soul cries out in songs of praise to you, Almighty God. Almighty God, my soul cries out in songs of praise to you, Almighty God, Almighty God. And when at last the clouds of doubt dispersing, you will reveal what we but dimly see. With trumpet call, our great rebirth announcing, we shall rejoin you for all eternity. Almighty God.